There was once a conventional piece of wisdom that election discussions didn't really begin until after Labor Day. That probably was never really the case, but certainly it isn't true in 2018. This week, John Brummett, political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, talked with Roby Brock from our partner Talk Business and Politics about congressional races in Arkansas. All four U.S. House seats in Arkansas belong to Republicans, and all four congressmen are seeking another term. Each of them this cycle challenged by a Democratic opponent. Roby asked John Brummett to break down each of the races, beginning with the 4th District. The 4th stretches from the Louisiana border all the way north into Madison County.
Hayden Schammel versus Bruce Westerman. She's got odds against her. She hasn't raised a lot of money. She doesn't have a lot of name ID. It is a conservative district. It's a big sprawling district still. How do you assess her as a candidate and Westerman as a candidate?
In many ways, this is a microcosm of what I think is happening in the state Democratic Party. They're moving beyond Clinton, and they seem to have a lot of young candidates who come not from the field of law, as maybe customarily they would have in past generations, but folks who are from education. She is a teacher, and you're going to find that up and down the Democratic ballot. People in education who tried, who have become civic-minded and politically-minded. So she represents a metamorphosis, beginning of a change in the Democratic Party, which is good. The 4th District is gone to Democrats, most likely, and Westerman is a very conservative. And
he's a little to the right of House leadership, even. He will vote at times against some of the House leadership, Paul Ryan's agenda.
Oh, yeah. And there's plenty of Republicans who are that far to the right, as was Westerman. And if you remember, in the state legislature, well, he was highly regarded for his intelligence and competence. He was to the right of the Republican mainstream in the legislature, to the point of getting up and accusing people, Republicans who voted for Medicaid expansion, to be having sold their souls for 30 pieces of silver, which were maybe...
So 30 or 40 pieces?
I don't know how many is it.
I think it was 40.
Maybe it's 40. I think, what's the...
You're the Church of Christ at the table here. I'm a Methodist, man.
I may have backslid slightly on some of my on some of my commands.
All right, 3rd Congressional District, Josh Mahoney versus Steve Womack. This is a highly concentrated Republican district. Josh Mahoney has a little bit of education in his background, single-parent scholarship fund, as a teacher, but as a nonprofit worker. Again, has made a very spirited effort here, the Indivisible group behind him, Moms Demand behind him. Steve Womack, though, in leadership in the House, pretty solid for re-election.
The 3rd District is traditionally the staunchest Republican area. It remains largely that. Among the state's congressional delegation, our Republican members of Congress, Womack has achieved probably the greatest internal heights in the House leadership. He's strong. He's from Rogers. He's from Benton County. I mean, he's
but is the 3rd District a district that could
shift eventually?
It's changing.
Well, I was getting ready to go there.
Okay.
There's a lot going on up there.
Yeah.
My joke is you can't have a world-class art museum, as they now have in Bentonville, without a bunch of liberal thinkers coming around. And there's so much growth up there. A lot of it is suburban moderate growth, which is a different kind of Republicanism, if it's Republicanism at all. It is slowly changing. And if you remember Tom Cotton's town hall meeting on health care, when the Indivisible groups up there organized and turned out, it was a national spectacle. The resistance.
Yeah, they cut in. Yeah.
The resistance from people in Northwest Arkansas to the Trump administration and Cotton on health care. There's something going on up there. And it'd be interesting to see it quantified in this election because Josh Mahoney's working hard. And the last time I talked to him, it was all going to be about health care, the health care vote, which was what that Indivisible uprising was all about in terms of that Tom Cotton meeting. So no real solid prospect of a Democratic gain, but something to watch, to quantify.
The results will be something to monitor.
Comparing it to recent elections, because there's something percolating there. Mm-hmm.
Clark Tucker in the 2nd District versus French Hill, this is the one to watch still.
It's the one.
There has been some movement in this race, at least from national pundits, that this has moved from likely Republican to lean Republican. Still an uphill battle for Clark Tucker, but it does seem to be moving in his direction in terms of momentum, but it's not there yet.
Most interesting race. When Clark Tucker entered the primary, it was a strong Republican by the Cook Political Report and other groups, Sabato and those. his mere entry and his prominence, his name, his prospect moved it. It was quickly moved to likely Republican even before he got the nomination. Now it's gone from likely Republican to lean Republican. These sound like minor gradations. They're not. I mean, it's like, it's you know, he's likely he'll to win now. Well, we're leaning that he's going to win. This next gradation after that would be a toss-up. We're not there yet. But people tell me that, I've had somebody who, and you had him on last week, somebody working in Hill's campaign I saw at a function who said, yeah, we know this is a serious race.
They're taking it seriously. They're running
It was interesting to me that Clark Tucker won the Democratic primary without a runoff and was all impressive, and he was all the rage. That was a great victory. And we don't vote again until November, but the very next week, French Hill was on TV trying to time to Nancy Pelosi, and a guy was standing at the intersection of Kavanaugh and Markham waving at rush hour a French Hill sign. I thought, what's... And I think the point was they're thinking, this guy's likely to get ahead of us.
Yeah.
I mean, we can...
Don't let him own all the space.
Yeah, he's getting all the attention right now. We need to get out there right now and stop that hemorrhage and put ourselves up there in the race. And then you've got Republican groups are working on some negative ads. So we are close to having a national battleground race here.
I think when Labor Day gets here and comes and goes, that race really starts
to generate
a lot more.
About then, it's come out one of your polling.
I got some polling in the mix there. All right, the first congressional district, Chinton Desai versus Rick Crawford. Rick Crawford, quiet, under the radar, don't hear about him, doesn't try to raise his national profile on a regular basis. Chinton Desai has been working the district. Again, it's a big district. It's a long shot for Democrats. It's a lot like the fourth in terms of its territory and the fact that it has gone extremely Republican in a very short period of time. A place that used to be a big Democratic bastion.
Two things. Desai is Teach for America. Mm-hmm. My theme that I mentioned, and I've had a few of these education-driven Democratic candidates say that they thought as young people when they came out of higher education with good grades, with prospects, they thought about law school, but they chose to go. They could do more good, they thought, formatively in education, and now they're moving into politics. But the first district, as recently as 15 years ago, was the most Democratic in the state. The transformation is remarkable there. It's now probably more than the fourth.
We'll see if trade and tariffs, though, erode some of that Republican support, because that would be an area where we might see it more than anything.
We'll see if a young candidate whose name is hard to pronounce and will have difficulty getting name recognition and has no money and no confidence or backing, really, from the National Party, if he can start making inroads. I met him over the weekend. Seems like a nice, energetic young man, so we'll see.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and his columns can also be found at arkansasonline.com. He talked with Roby Brock from Our Partner Talk Business and Politics. More from their conversation and more state news can be found at talkbusiness.net. And ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large, John Brummett sits down with Roby Brock to analyze each of the four U.S. House races in Arkansas. That's ahead. Sometimes a return to the office after a vacation can be difficult, stressful even, catching up on the emails, phone calls, and other messages you missed while still trying to just get your bearings on the work week ahead. Thanks to the Ozarks at Large team, that isn't the case as I get back here after a week and a half away. Thank you to Antoinette Grajeda for hosting while I was gone, and to Timothy Dennis, Zuzanna Sitek, and Jacqueline Froelich for keeping the show going as well. Always a necessity to take some time off, but always very good to get back. And look here, it's August already. Here are just a few things we can look forward to this month. On the 17th, the Arkansas Razorback soccer team opens up the 2018 season. This weekend, the team won its first exhibition match, shutting out Kansas 1-0. Arkansas will play one more exhibition, this one at Nebraska, Thursday, before the team travels to Pennsylvania on the 17th to face Duquesne. The home regular season opener arrives Friday, August 24th, against Nebraska-Omaha, that match in Fayetteville. On the 17th, the next visitors in the House of Songs Ozarks Project will play at the Meteor Guitar Gallery, Kalu and the Electric Joint, and Leslie Renaga. Leslie, now based in Austin, made her TV debut in Mexico when she was just 14. The four-member band Kalu and the Electric Joint are also from Austin and play a mix of music with heavy international influences. They'll both play at the Meteor in Bentonville on Friday the 17th. On August the 18th, the Pink Floyd tribute band Bricks in the Wall, the Sight and Sound of Pink Floyd, will be at the Sound Room in Fort Smith at 817 Garrison. You can find out more at thesoundroomfs.com or on Facebook. And finally, on August 24th, the sci-fi classic 2001 A Space Odyssey will go where it's never gone before, to IMAX screens around the country, including Fayetteville. The big screen showing is in honor of the film's 50th anniversary, and it will be shown at the Malco IMAX in Fayetteville for 1 week, beginning Friday the 24th. Tickets on sale now.